The golden rule. The ones with the gold make the rules.
Yeah. I don't know. Man, I was just thinking, like...
This was a strange movie.
I was just thinking, like, man, you know, you get to prepare, like, a specific quote, and then I'm on the ball, have to... Like, what do I say to, like, yeah, shit, yeah, man, shit's rough. Yeah,
well, why don't you have something deep and poetic to add to this comment that I just made that you were totally not prepared for?
You should eat the rich, I guess. Somebody said that.
That's something, right?
Wasn't it Jonathan Swift?
That was like a philosopher?
I think so. I think he was Irish, and I think he...
It sounds like a very communist philosopher thing to say. Like, eat the rich? Like,
eat rich, eat the babies of the rich. you know, depending on your leanings, that's what's... I mean, never mind. Anyway.
Hey, you know, honestly, I'm not sure I care if I offend rich people.
And, you know...
Fuck. I gotta make their food already, you know?
Damn.
What more do I gotta do? Alright, folks, welcome to another edition of the SpotterPod, Spot 97. We are covering They Live, the classic late 80s, 1980s movie, starring the one and only... Roddy Piper. We decided to cover it for Halloween, and this episode is totally not late almost a week.
I mean, hey, you know...
Not my fault, but again,
usual. It's okay. Hey, you know what? The themes and tones of this movie, I think, are timeless.
Very spooky.
You know?
They are timeless, actually. Like,
If this came out today, it would have been like, hey, you know what?
Honestly, I feel like this would be a hit today.
I think it wouldn't be a cult classic. I think it actually...
Oh, no, I would think it'd be a cult classic, but I think cult classics get better reception these days just because of the internet.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah. But I still feel like it's still fairly out there, but yeah, I agree. I can agree with that.
Yeah, dude, I had no idea what the fuck this movie was about except for the... I'm here to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum, which I wanted to go with, but, you know, I felt like that was too on the nose.
I'm sure I'll use that in the description somehow.
But
probably
before we continue on with today's movie or spot, last time we covered Asobi Asobase.
Yeah.
Any deep lingering thoughts?
Deep lingering thoughts? No. That's still pretty good. Go watch it. Go listen to our thoughts.
If you are an anime fan, I believe this is a good show to watch. Asobi Asobase.
Yeah.
Nice comedic timing. Even if, obviously... The anime is made in Japan, right? So some of the humor is going to be Japanese-centered, but I think the humor is strong enough that it's not exclusively for Japanese audiences.
I can agree
with that. So, you know, if you're obviously speaking English and listening to this podcast, you could very clearly understand the humor here in the show, as long as, you know, you're a casual anime fan, I would say.
Yeah. That's,
give me a quick
overview. I forgot about this part.
It's pretty simple.
So, you know, Roddy Piper is a homeless guy, and then he starts killing a bunch of zombies because glasses told him to.
Well, alien zombos.
Oh, fuck it.
Alien zombos.
Ain't close. Because I think I remember seeing
this.
Which design.
Is actually kind of a cool analogy, right?
Yeah,
like,
I guess.
I think how I interpreted it as is John Carpenter's trying to say is like rich people are so otherworldly. Oh,
that's actually what I wrote right here.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Oh. Yeah, I know I'm kind of skipping ahead here, but rich people are so otherworldly, they're like a whole nother species.
Yeah.
But if we follow the literal instructions of this movie, then the best way to go about it is to
just
gun them down in cold blood.
Just go grab their guns and
just shoot the shit out of them.
Yeah, no.
Just like how Roddy did in this movie.
It does take a turn. It does start a bit slow, as you noted. We were setting stuff up, but then, like, once the truth is revealed, he's all on board the
Murder Express.
Murder Express. Anyway,
man, those guns need no reloading.
I feel like that's the most movie guns,
especially the 80s.
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
there's just no.
I was like, holy shit!
Not a single reload.
That's an automatic pistol if I've ever seen one. But. I'm actually glad you mentioned the pacing, because it is definitely a slow burn movie, especially with like the opening intro, because you know it's just the same, and he uses
lots of walking,
wandering, slow bluegrass rock, right? That's kind of what it was.
Yeah,
right?
it's like a consistent like do
exactly, like it's very somber, You know, it's a monotone. And it's kind of meant to... I actually do appreciate the sound effects there. They even reuse it to reiterate when... what's it? Fuck. The character didn't have a name. I actually thought that was really interesting.
Which one? Oh, they mean the main character? Yeah, oh,
Roddy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we'll just obviously refer to him as Roddy.
Nah, we're just going
to
call him.
And in the credits, he's literally titled as Nada. Yeah. Because nothing. Which, no name.
Just
right?
A rib. Just a fucking rib, yeah.
Honestly, I respect it. Power move.
Hey, because it's like, you know, this could have been anyone.
I think, yeah, I think. Although I honestly, guess. I'm glad you mentioned that. Although I think guess. That's, maybe that's what the thought
most of
was.
Us aren't as jacked as he was in this
He
movie.
Was the most jacked I have ever seen him. I have never seen Roddy as jacked in a match.
If you've ever actually seen Roddy Piper as the wrestler, you will know what he looks like, and then you'll see him in this, and you're
like,
okay.
Like, what the fuck? He was like.
he's like, hey, I'm going to Hollywood. I can't do a Roddy Piper.
Oh, Roddy the Tornado. No, Jesus Christ. I can't. I wish I was good at impressions.
Gonna
but
pretend
I'm
not. To be a Canadian man pretending to be a Scottish man.
God fucking damn it.
Anyway.
So many layers to this.
Yeah, it's like an onion. Yeah. Let's go into themes. And speaking of themes and tones, we got
totally speaking, dark comedy, right?
Yeah, it's pretty dark, which I feel like, yeah, lots of John Carpenter stuff, the director slash. Yeah, not director. I mean, he made Halloween and The Thing and Escape from New York and Little. Big Trouble in Little Chinatown. I was going to say Little Trouble in Big Chinatown.
Still a good name.
Which I actually, now I say it, like, those are all fairly different, I think. But, I think
it's actually kind of a cool
body
of work then, right? Because that means he's not really a one-trick pony.
Yeah, and I think there's still a darkness to it.
There's definitely a dark tone to it, just because the sense that your lives... Well, your lives in this movie, at least, your lives are being controlled by an interterrestrial species that's just interested in money and making money off of
it's
you.
It's like our culture is just all...
We're just cattle.
Yeah.
Which is really, honestly, a depressing thought.
Yeah, a bit of nihilism in there.
But then also, like, to switch things up, at the very end of the movie when the aliens get exposed, you know, a woman is shown...
Oh, yeah, the very
last
scene.
Yeah, a woman is
shown
having sex with an alien, but at the time she didn't know it was an alien, so she's like, the alien goes, babe, what's wrong? Yeah.
Which, hey, who knows how she reacted? Maybe she was into it. I don't know.
Who knows? But no, like, I think that kind of shows the levels to it, as opposed to it's not all doom and gloom all the time.
I think
casting Roddy in this role was actually really good in that sense, because, you know, clearly he could be over the top, but he was still able to undercut that, not undercut, but still put off the seriousness of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, you have those moments when he's looking at an alien with sunglasses, and he says, man, you're really fucking ugly.
I feel like the beginning of the movie, he's fairly, like, a normal guy.
Just homeless.
He's just a homeless guy. Well, and then, like,
he worked for a bank, right? For, like, 10 years?
Or something like that. But then, like, once he sees all the aliens, then he just...
Where was his car, man? He got repoed.
Yeah.
They never explain why he has a wedding ring, too. That's a question.
Well, I mean, yeah, there is a lot unexplained. Why did he have a wedding ring? And even... Yeah, going to that, like, what was he... I mean, he talked about his dad near the end of the movie.
Oh, his dad was a dick.
Your dad, like, fucking beat the shit out of him and shit and kind of helped mold his worldview. But, yeah, maybe we'll get into that when we get into characters.
Yeah, sorry, jumped ahead there.
And themes and tones, like, obviously, it's a lot of, like, classism, like, rich versus poor, like... I mean, yeah, it's not very
the rich
subtle.
The rich are treating the poor like cattle, and the cattle must rise up.
I mean, kind of literally, like, not even.
Like, they weren't necessarily eating the cattle, but, you know.
Definitely
profiting off of them. Now, not quite something, and, you know, they don't have to explain it. It's up to the viewer to interpret it, and I think it's actually a good thing because it makes us think. But how exactly did they profit from the people, you know? Like, I'm guessing it's the aliens that are producing all the capitalistic materials, like the magazines and such, right? And then it's the people that yuck it up.
Yeah,
the humans exact... yuck it up and buy it. So I'm assuming that's what they're trying to go for.
Yeah, the exact annals of whatever.
No, that's the correct one.
I mean, yeah, to not laugh.
I don't know how spell. Word. I don't know how close the spelling is to anal, though, to be honest.
The exact pathways. There you go. That's a less controversial term to use that the aliens are using to
more
exploit.
Polite.
Yeah, they exploit the human race. This is kind of left up to debate. Like, a lot of the small details, like, how long have they been here? I don't know. Like, how long, how much of human society, human civilization has been influenced by these aliens? Have they been here from the start, like, back in, like, fucking ancient Egypt and shit? Like,
they come back later?
They're telling the pharaoh, like, hey, you got God damn it.
Enslaved the poor.
Enslaved all the other slaves? I don't know. That's interesting to think about.
And I'm actually glad it doesn't get too much into the explanation, because sometimes I feel like it drags on. Also, for movies, I don't think that's the best format, because it's meant to be like a tight 90 minutes, typically, for most movies, right?
I think this one was about 90, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Maybe like, if it was like games, you know, that sort of media, you can have like those little tidbits of like, you collect items and it explains further the lore. But no, I appreciate, like, it creates a lot of speculation and makes people think. And I think that's how a lot of the scenes are directed, right? Like, well, there was something I wanted to point out. Okay. Like, when Roddy found that false wall, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't exactly show what we found in the box or what was in the wall and all that. Like, it made as long as the viewer was paying attention, it made them think. And I appreciate movies that work like that. The only problem is, you know, it's a slower movie, pacing-wise, at least the first half.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm afraid some people have a shorter attention span, so they may or may not, lose that.
I do think, yeah, it sets up a lot of intrigue early on. Like, yeah, but neither of us, like, knew the exact premise of this.
Oh, yeah, dude, when there was, like, aliens in this, like, super caught me off guard. Like,
holy shit.
I did not realize this is that kind of movie.
Which I do think it kind of really works for, like, the messaging of it, because it is supposed to be, like, a shocking revelation.
Yeah, I agree.
And it
makes it like so much more interesting, right? Pulls you into it, because that was like a huge left turn, but it wasn't like jump the shark, I guess.
Oh no,
like,
yeah,
it built up to it, you know.
Yeah, no, because I think we see a lot the way we're introduced. Our characters are homeless.
They were pretty clean looking homeless.
Hey,
people,
you know, no. I did read that there were actual homeless.
I can believe there were shoot homeless people.
Not
Roddy, but I'm just saying some of the working homeless people, you know, they were kind of plain.
But yeah, kind of introducing a lot of the societal divide between the rich and the poor, and the premise of them being basically aliens, and like, oh yeah, they actually are.
They're above. If I may bottom line it, and the reason why the movie is called They Live is from the quote on their wall, the quote on the wall, which said, they live, we sleep.
Yeah.
We being regular humans, they being the aliens. Or I guess, if you look at it as an allegory, the aliens being the upper, the one percenters of the super rich, but to try to bottom line it, the poor masses sleep while the rich control them through consumerism and capitalism.
There you go.
And they live.
Yeah. All right. I think we got it down to pat. I couldn't really think of another theme. You got anything else?
No, I think that was... I mean, I'm sure if you rewatch it, there's like other stuff to pick up on, but I think that was the main point they were getting across. Yeah. Aside from, like, you know, that fucking Roddy don't do no jobs, bro.
Oh god!
You don't lose.
Hey, that ain't.
We're gonna get to that eventually.
But let's get into some of the characters. Then I did forget.
Oh, can you put a question? Well, I'm gonna say this question out really quick. Why are Roddy and Frank such good shots, despite having no military training? And how is Roddy so jacked despite being homeless?
Hey, you know, I mean. Hey, maybe he was a construction worker in Denver instead of working at the banks. Maybe he was just talking...
Lied at the employment office.
Or no, maybe... I mean, maybe when he said the banks went down, I'm thinking maybe he was just like, oh, maybe the banks that he was, like, using went out of... I don't know. I don't know. I don't know, banks.
I'm just saying he was just...
I'm just saying...
I'm just impressed with how jacked he was, and I'm confused why he wasn't that jacked in the...
Because that's not Hollywood. Because what pays more, you know, wrestling or Hollywood?
Depends what it is.
I mean, I think this one actually didn't do that bad. I don't think it was like super.
13 million.
There you go. Hey, I'm sure
that's over four times the budget.
Yeah, that's not bad. Not bad. But anyway.
Hey, I wouldn't scoff at $1 million. Hey, I'll tell you that much.
Would you sell out the human race for it?
Yeah, maybe.
All right. All right then. Cool.
They kind of suck.
You know what? You're not wrong.
Hey, you can be elevated too, my brother. Whatever that guy said.
It's like, hey, you know, the quote that he said. It's like, hey, we sell out every day. No,
this is true.
No harm, and you know, might as well be on the winning team.
Yeah, might as well be on the winning team. Honestly, that was the antithesis, right?
Kind of, yeah.
The opposing thought.
This reminds me of the Simpsons quote when Homer goes to space, and then everyone on Springfield sees the ants on the ship. And they think the fucking ants are... do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever watched this?
I didn't see
whatever.
That,
again, have you heard the line? Like, oh, I for one...
ants on the ship.
No, they see ants, but they're really magnified. And like, oh my god, ants took over the spaceship. And fucking those news porters like, oh, you know what? I for one welcome our new insect overlords. And I will let it be known that I am completely like on their side. It's like 180%.
Oh, 180 turn, I see.
It's like, hey, fuck the humans. I'm on their side. I'm not on aliens.
I, for one, welcome our new ant overlord.
Which, to be fair, I think this movie might have I don't know, actually. What? Simpsons is kind of old. But that was like season 8, so I'm guessing this came first.
Hard to tell.
I mean, it's like it's not even
hey,
like
but that's a good
quote.
Point. We sell out every day. Might as well sell up for the winning team.
You know? Anyway.
That's like the moving thought. The main thought of Seth Rollins betraying the Shield to join Triple H.
You know?
We sell out every day, pal.
Okay, getting into some of these characters. I just kind of grouped the terrorist group.
Yeah, they're pretty much like the same character.
Yeah, no.
There was the blind priest. I'm not quite sure.
I thought he was kind of cool.
Sure what the meaning behind him being blind was. Maybe it's like...
So he can say the line about, though I'm blind, God allows me to see. Or something like that.
I mean, maybe it's... Like, or, I'm sure there's some sort of significance. I just can't think
no,
of
No, to me,
why.
To me, it's like he's physically blind, but because he's in the movement,
truth.
he sees the truth.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I can believe that.
No, that's what I got out of that, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's fair.
And then, that's I don't know, the other guys, they're trying to get the... Trying to organize themselves.
Trying to make the people wake up.
I mean, honestly, that's kind of like where woke like comes from. Like,
I kind of hate that word too. I feel like it's
it is used.
It's overused,
in ways,
and I feel like
it's basically like, yeah. I understand
you know what?
That.
I'm the first to admit I ain't the smartest guy.
No.
But sometimes I think people put off they know more than they do.
No, I can get on with that, but. Anyway, yeah, they're there. They die. Most of them die.
Yeah, they die.
Anyway, the one guy that we said, the
bearded homeless guy that sold out.
Yeah. And I actually was wondering if he converted during the events of the movie, or if he was always, maybe it was like a plant that was feeding
the
aliens
thinking.
Information.
It's kind of cool, right? It makes you think about it. Like, I feel like it's not one of those loose ends that ruins the movie or like is a gaping hole, but it's just more like, oh, was he always a spy, or did he become a spy during the events of the movie, like you said?
Yeah, because actually I just rewatched this movie with Bianca, my sister, today.
Oh, you did?
So I actually got to go over some stuff.
Why didn't you just watch it with us? Streaming, I guess.
Oh no, because Barkley was being a dick. She doesn't want to leave him in the whatever. I don't know.
Fair enough.
But what was I saying? Oh yeah, but I did notice, he was like super like against the message that they were trying to put on TV.
Yeah, maybe
which to be fair, I guess as a normal person, you're like, okay, what the fuck's this
if
guy
it's
talking
watching
about?
Watching a random YouTube video and then gets hijacked by an ad of like someone
to
saying,
be fair,
wake up,
to be
you're
fair,
being...
Yeah, to be fair, I think a normal person might say that kind of stuff, but I don't know. And then also when the attack on the homeless shelter happens.
That fight twice.
I did. No, I don't. No, honestly, I didn't feel as long as the second time.
Really? That's weird.
Which, I don't know. But then another thing I noticed, like, right before the police come and fuck up the homeless shelter place, he lit a cigarette up.
Yeah, like he wasn't worried.
But then he still got, like, cornered by the policemen, so maybe that's, like...
But they didn't kill him.
They didn't kill him, so I think it's either, like, oh, they're, like...
It's like, gotta make it look good.
Maybe
pal.
That. Or maybe that's when they gave him a deal. I don't know.
I meant, why would the police run through the homeless shelter in the first place? You know, like,
Not saying in general, but actually, just saying context of the movie.
Maybe
the homeless guy was a spy the whole time, and he's just playing
his role. Here's my line of thinking about like why they targeted the homeless people too. The church, I think,
was recruiting.
They were recruiting people, recruiting. Right? Yeah, and from that homeless space, because I remember
the main guy was their plan, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So that's why he was just playing along when he got quote unquote cornered by the cops.
Or I thought you were asking like why they were bothering.
Oh no, I was just trying to point out like in reality, you know, there is a chance that cops would raid a homeless shanty town, right? But more likely than not. But in context of the movie, like,
oh yeah,
they're invading the shanty town because maybe the homeless guy, at least the one that has lines, at least was tipping him off that the church is recruiting
people. Okay, yeah. That's what I'm trying to get at.
I think we're on the same page there.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So, and then he actually, I don't know why, like yesterday I thought he got murdered, but then like, no, he just fucking blinked out and yeeted and he's fine.
You just see, it's all work, brother.
Although, I mean, they did reveal the, you know, like, spoilers, Roddy.
Spoilers for this 40-year-old movie, or 30, already, whatever.
Whatever it is. Maybe he got a, yeah, I kind of wonder, another thing to wonder too, like, what is the aftermath of the movie? But, hey, we'll get into that later.
Gotta make you think, right? Yeah, makes you think.
It's like, I mean, I'm guessing.
I'm reading your lines for Holly. It's funny.
It's like, yeah, okay, let's get into Holly. I think we covered the bases with the other guy. So Holly's the woman in the film. She's like the one woman with
the female
name.
The female lead.
Basically. She is. she gets kidnapped by Roddy while he's on the run from the cops.
And Roddy simps over her.
Basically. I don't know what to say.
Feels bad for almost killing him.
Just happens to also work for the TV station where their headquarters, or part of the headquarters of the aliens. She
kills Frank.
She does kill Frank.
Like, straight up.
No, because it's like, it's kind of like a double turn where, okay, she knocks Roddy off her fucking window.
Before she's quote unquote woke.
Yeah.
Or she's aware of the alien situation.
But that's when he lost his first pair of sunglasses. And then supposedly she put them on and learned, and then she shows up at the...
She learns the truth.
She shows up at the next meeting. But next time she shows up, yeah, then she fucking murders Frank. But then she doesn't immediately shoot Roddy, because maybe, I guess she's in love.
That's Stockholm Syndrome, yeah.
And he keeps fucking asking for her, too, even when they're, like, getting ready. Like, he's like, hey, where the fuck is Ollie?
Wait, when there's literal gunfire and actual explosions running around, he's like, oh, we gotta find Holly.
Fucking
Frank.
God damn. But anyway, but then she gets killed.
God damn it.
Anyway, getting into Frank, a.k.a. Keith Richards. So, yeah, I think he and Roddy are, like, pretty good foils for each other, because they're both kind of in the same boat, but they kind of have slightly different viewpoints.
Yeah, Frank just wants to, like most people, Frank just wants to do his business, go home, provide for his family, right? He doesn't want any trouble.
Yeah.
For some reason, he goes back to trying to help Roddy, even after Roddy, you know, on the surface, murdered a bunch of cops and people in the bank. But for whatever reason, Frank chooses to help him.
Maybe that's the goodness of his heart. He's like, hey, I gotta, you know, something for him.
I threw a lot in with him before. In for a penny, in for a pound, am I right?
Yeah, it's like, I can't fucking quit you, Roddy.
That's like if I went on a homicidal spree, and, you know, while I'm still at large, you could toss me $100.
It's like, hey, you know, why not?
Why would you do? I would be kind of disappointed if you did.
It's like,
I'm like, Jesus, dude, I just shot those people.
You know, you can't, I don't know. But, like, literally, he only met him, like, I don't even know how long his movie
was. Like, you know,
over.
He stuck his neck out for him, right? Found him a place to stay, and then Nada goes around.
But it's like, they haven't known each other for years, like me.
Yeah, I know. It was very short term, yeah.
But I don't know. I guess that's just who he is at the core of his human being. You can't, you know,
but then once Roddy forces him to see the truth.
Through violence.
Yes.
Through a violent uprising.
Lots of violence.
Oh, boy.
Excessively long, violent scene.
Then he learns the truth, and it's basically the second gun guy, and then he gets killed.
Yeah, basically. Gets shot by Hall. All the protags die in this movie, which is interesting.
Pretty interesting. And then we get to the Roddy himself, a.k.a. Nada. And like, yeah, I was sad. He starts off.
Yeah, dude, optimistic. Maybe you're right. Maybe he didn't have a name, so people can self-insert. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But God, Roddy did not look like a regular person on that one.
You know, hey, I wouldn't mind looking like him.
Holy shit.
then yeah, starts off, I don't know why I highlighted that, starts off optimistic about the world, but then immediately turns to a psychopath when he learns the truth.
It was like, okay, when he shoots those alien cops at first, like, that can make sense, right? Because, like, it's either, it's a me or them situation.
Because they have their guns drawn.
Right, but what kind of, like, blew my mind, pun intended, is when he got the shotgun out of the cop car.
Yeah, like, he immediately went straight to the bank. He goes straight from, okay, that was self-defense, that's justified, into, okay, now
it's open season.
It is, I'm doing one-liners, I gotta... One man wrecking crew.
Fuck, what was it again? I'm here to kick ass and chew bubblegum. And I'm all out of bubblegum. All I'm saying is, the budget was $3 million. They couldn't throw in an extra couple thousand to get blood splatter effects.
There was like one or two.
Yeah, there's like one or two out of the several murders in this movie.
That
kind of ruins your little suspension.
A little bit.
Look, saying as someone who hasn't been shot, but I'm willing to bet if you shoot someone, they're probably going to bleed.
Probably a little bit. Decent chance for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, and another thing, the only other characterization he gets, other than being...
his dad was a dick.
Yeah, his dad was a dick. And I think, thinking about it again on the second watch, it's like, okay, it's showing... His resilience
despite being a down and out American who believes in the American dream, except when he finds out that the rich are eating the poor.
Yeah, his unwillingness to yield to authority, because that's another one of the main things about the aliens trying to do is, you know, get us to be complacent and stuff. And I think like him saying like that he ran away from his abusive dad at 13 showed a level of being able to recognize in an impressive situation. I guess he is the perfect protagonist for this movie.
I know we're talking about like the evils of capitalism, right? But it just makes me think of Animal Farm.
Oh yeah.
How does that quote that Snowball says?
Some all animals are equal, but some are more equal than
others. Yes, thank you. See, we were on the same page.
I remember. All right. That was like the one of. I think it was in middle school when I actually still read the books. Then I hit high school and I never read another fucking book again for English.
Some of them were actually pretty good reads.
Oh, yeah.
Heart of Darkness was confusing for me.
I didn't read that one.
I think it was too dumb.
Mm-hmm.
The one with Okonkwo, that was actually
Things Fall Apart.
Yeah, that one was actually pretty good.
Oh, okay. I think I read like the first half of it.
It's probably more than most, unfortunately. Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm surprised I remember that.
What do we, okay, I think, that's it for Roddy.
All animals are equal. Some are more equal than others.
Because, you know, if you just disguise your oppression as just, like, not, it's kind of,
it's a great plan.
Yeah, if you just lie, lying is, who would have thought?
Well, let me put how Eddie Guerrero put it. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
I mean, you know, that just shows a level of, you know, resilience. Like, you're willing to do
whatever it takes. All right, we're getting off track.
Yeah, whatever.
Let's get into these notable moments.
I mean, we've pretty much talked about
okay,
all of them.
Okay, so just, I think, any plot holes, there weren't really any. It was just more like the specific details of the movie that were kind of off and raised eyebrows, right? Like, why was there no blood splatter? Or how did Roddy and Frank become such great marksmen?
All of a sudden,
even though they had no combat training, you know, they didn't even hesitate with the guns at all.
Maybe Frank, he worked at the steel mills. Maybe he had some target practice. Maybe he was making bullets.
Yeah, because if you make bullets, you can shoot a gun.
Maybe on their breaks, they're like, hey, you want to go shoot some rounds? I don't know. I don't know what the fuck you do at a bullet factory.
If he even worked out a lot.
I'm just speculating.
How come their guns had infinite ammo and never had to reload? I don't know.
Because they're the heroes.
Why is Roddy such a simp for Holly?
Because
even though
he hasn't had any.
Why did Frank feel such a need to help Nada? Even though they've only met for like a day, and he helped him out a little bit, but what? Roddy never really did that much for old Frank.
I did think though the segment in the beginning when Roddy just takes his shirt off, the only man at the fucking construction work site with his shirt off.
You know what happened? Roddy was like, god damn, you know, I got into this great shape And why would I not show it? No, that's not even a good one. But why would I not show it on TV? I had it for a little bit, and then...
You know?
Hard Atari. Fuck. God damn it. I liked my shitty Austin impression better.
Yeah, that one's not bad. That was not bad.
Well, it's bad, but I feel like it's at least more.
Oh yeah, definitely close. Yeah. Definitely, you. I think you hit at least like I don't know 30% there.
There you go. Honestly, that's good enough for me.
No, yeah, I have no idea. Do it anyway. Yeah. In terms of questions, I don't know.
Yeah, no, this movie is striking and with its key moments, and I think especially so in thanks to the pacing, because as long as you're paying attention. Which I think most adults would, and it's a rated R movie, so it should be adults watching this. Mm. But if you're an adult watching this and you're paying attention, like when those stark contrasting moments hit, it's ingrained into your memory. So like when Roddy first put the sunglasses on and sees the alien, not only does the screen change in black and white, but it's just so strange.
Yeah,
seeing the aliens,
because that's kind of the point that they're just. Normal, they look like normal humans on the outside,
but in reality, they're not.
Yeah,
they're just feeding on us.
Yeah, and I think that kind of like Roddy's reaction is similar to ours when we first see it. So I thought that worked out pretty well. And then, yeah, basically, all his one you gotta have the one action one liner. Like,
I'm reading this, isn't me.
I still no, like when he starts openly insulting the fucking alien.
I feel like they didn't even write that for him. He just said that shit.
You look. Never mind. I'm not
gonna
try.
Do it.
You look like your head dipped in the cheese dip back in 1957.
Yours isn't that bad.
I don't know.
You just gotta commit.
And then, of course,
off the helicopter at the.
Oh yeah, he did. Yeah. And then what else did he say?
Bubblegum and kick ass.
It's like putting.
God, you're fucking ugly.
Yeah, that's just that one.
I want to make that like my text tone.
Jesus.
Like I'm just sitting in a quiet room and then someone texts me.
Oh man. Anyway, and yeah, seeing the aliens using a PKA meter to track the revolutionaries. I thought it was kind of interesting. It's like, oh okay,
yeah, man, that's got to be copyright. Am I right?
I'm sure they're all sharing.
Is Ghostbusters Universal?
I think so.
Okay, maybe that's why then.
I'm assuming so. I'm sure it's fine.
God, whatever. You know, now that I think about it, there's three renditions of the Ghostbusters. Because there's the original, there's the one with the female cast, and then there's the one with kids.
Oh, yeah, there was a third one?
Yeah, there's a third.
When did that happen?
I think it came out already.
The hell?
We should watch that. We should have watched that. Well, actually, no, this was a good choice. This is honestly... I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Something I do want to point out, and it's, you know... Like... Especially with the CG, the effects of the 80s. Yeah. But, you know, when there's aliens, like, in movies, like, who... And it's not just this movie, but any movie. Like, I'm kind of not the fan of, oh, it's a humanoid species.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm 100%
buying there's that. So much life, or not life, how do I put this? There's so much space out there and so many different conditions. Like, who's to say the perfect ratio of limbs or you know, or they're walking on two legs, like it's gonna be, you know, two arms, two legs and a head, like who's to say that there's not two-headed aliens and Hanar, like it, well, like
yeah,
the jellyfish Effect, aliens in Mass Effect, yeah,
or like who knows, like if they even take on a physical form, maybe they're somehow living
Geralt
through
some
weird I like can't even comprehend them. Like,
it's kind of why I like Ben 10 is like when they show aliens. Like, obviously there's a lot of humanoids, but they're not all humanoids.
Yeah, yeah.
But
more a little more variety. Yeah, but I mean it was the 80s. I'm sure.
And also like I feel like John Carpenter is strange enough. Like his body of work is strange and outlandish enough that he would go out of his way to make the aliens look like, you know, be different. But I think it was just a restriction of the times. Like, because what's easier, you know, dressing everyone up as, like, centaur predators or whatever, or just giving them weird masks and painting them.
And I will say, I do think the design itself is very great.
It's still strange and scary and off-putting. When did this movie come out? Oh, this came around, on the dot. 34 years ago.
All right. Hey, nice. And then, hey, they were doing this for the anniversary of this movie.
Yeah, sure. Almost, yeah. We totally had it planned.
There you go. And then I think in terms of other notable moments, I mean, we got to talk about the fight now, I guess.
Okay, so how long was it?
Oh, I didn't time it.
I feel like it was at least longer than five.
It was probably longer than five.
Roddy said, I ain't doing no jobs, dude.
I did think, because the one thing I do know about Roddy Piper is he didn't lose very often.
If at all.
Like, a lot of matches would probably just end with brawl to the back.
Or
no
DQ or some shit.
It's like, yeah, he didn't do the J-O-B very often. No, actually, I did notice the fight has two times or like two false finishes basically. Oh, like,
are you really putting in the wrestling
league? I mean, hey, yeah, it's no, but like when Keith David almost smashes the glasses off, I thought it was like, okay, he's gonna smash the glasses up, he's gonna walk away, scene ends. Nah, he doesn't, throws them away, Roddy keeps going. And then Roddy gets on his back looking up at the sky, and then Keith David walks away, says fuck you.
Roddy comes back.
Yeah, Roddy gets his
sleeper. He gets close every time, you know, to putting the glasses on.
He did put the sleeper hold on him. We thought that was gonna be the finish, but it wasn't.
How did it end? What was the last thing?
I think
Roddy definitely threw some wrestling moves.
Oh no! I think he broke the car.
Broke the car. I remember that.
Then
Well, okay, that was actually another thing that confused me. Like, why does Roddy smashing that car?
I don't know.
Piss off Frank.
No idea. I don't think it was his car either, but you know, maybe he just said sorry because he's
fighting,
Canadian.
Okay, let me put it like this. You're fighting with another homeless person in an alleyway, and you randomly smash someone else's car. Why would I, as another homeless person, give a shit?
Because at the end of the day, they're good people. Even though you could argue that they're both psychopaths.
Especially Rod. Look, all I'm saying is, like, he straight up went from...
No, actually, that's a question I have to say. Like, he doesn't even question the glasses. He puts them on, and he's like, this is the truth.
Yeah, no, he doesn't even think he's hallucinating or
whatnot. There's,
Like, he takes a moment to walk around.
And then,
when the police pull up on him, like, I know he's not murdering people, but he's murdering another sentient species, but most of them were hostile towards him, but
mm-hmm.
some of them were not, so I'm like, I don't know if I could justify...
Maybe it was just Roddy's sense. That's stupid.
His dangerous sense is tingling.
Because it's like, I don't know.
His Peter Piper was tingling.
Because like, okay, he was seeing all the obey shit, and then I guess he put two into
Marianne procreate.
I guess he like put two into together. Like, oh, these guys are responsible for all this.
And then he went straight to murdering. Went
straight to murdering them.
Like, he didn't even second guess it.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I was discussing with you during this movie. It's like, what if it's just another 180 movie? He's like, what if he's just hallucinating this whole time and everyone just looks at him like a crazy person?
I mean, yeah. I think that'd be an interesting angle, but... I mean, obviously...
No, I like how it went.
Oh, yeah. I think it makes sense. But, okay. Fight
was so long.
Other than it being pretty long, hey, they pulled out a couple moves.
Remember how you said there wouldn't be any wrestling moves in this movie, and Roddy busts out the short arm clothesline against the cops, and he did something to Frank. I think Frank even body slammed Roddy.
Oh yeah, there was a couple of those. But hey, I mean, I think that was like the only time he really did it, because the rest of it was just kind of shooting.
Yeah,
shooty, shoot, shoot. But anyway, okay. Other than notable moments, I'm just gonna go straight into key
way
directing.
Too damn long.
I thought it was alright.
It's kind of dragging.
It's very indulgent.
It's not a match. Come on now. What the fuck is this?
Okay, getting into some key directing. I did notice, while we were watching, Bianca also pointed out like the use of different colors and coloring to denote different things. Like, I think the depicting like the kind of ordinary like cityscape in the beginning of the movie. While he's just walking around being homeless, and then when the police stuff happens and it's at night and you got the red and the blue lights going on, apparently that's a thing that John Carpenter does. I guess, because she called it out. I thought it was kind of interesting.
No, I do appreciate, like, obviously the black and white when he has the sunglasses on, like, that's meant to show that it's a strange situation. But also, like, I'm wondering as to what the literary significance of that was, or like the figurative.
Okay, here we go. I was thinking.
Get a crack at it, please.
I was thinking maybe perhaps the black and white vision is the alien's native color vision.
Okay.
Because they see things in black and white.
Right. And despite them being red and blue.
Yeah. And actually, and Red and Blue, just like the police, all just like the call of the police race. I wrote it right here. Wow, who would have thought? I didn't plan that. But yeah, I was thinking maybe it's like their native vision, and then, and like they see things literally in black and white, as in the human race is either you have those of them who are with the aliens.
You're either with us or against us. That makes sense.
Literally that. Yeah.
I mean, could also say that, the revolutionary group is of the same ilk, because they're like, well, no, I guess they didn't attack randoms or non-participants.
Yeah, but I think that's interesting. Like, Roddy does make a point when he's using the glasses to not shoot
humans. Yeah.
Like the one cop, yeah.
No, that's a good point, yeah. Maybe, I think you're on the right track there. Yeah, the aliens either see their own or the cattle, you know, or the lesser... Their own or the lesser.
And then there was another line when the first encounter with the cops, when they say that Roddy looks just as ugly to them as
he does
to or as they do to him.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, like, I wonder if...
Not ugly enough to bone.
I mean... Maybe not. Maybe they're just calling him ugly. I don't know, because, you know, they got the mullet. I don't know. They didn't get to see him shirtless. They're like, they weren't able to see him.
They didn't get to bask in the glory.
Yeah.
Did your mom have a mullet in the 80s?
They're like a couple.
I saw a picture of it.
I think like the one picture
it was like
I haven't
a strong mullet, but it was like, you know, that the low rise, not low rise, but the low key woman's mullet.
Yeah, I think like the one picture I'm thinking of my mom that's like, I don't know if it was in the 80s. It's kind of a mullet, I guess. No, I think most of the pictures I have of my parents are from, like, the 90s, like, right before I was born, and seeing my dad in, like, the high-waisted jeans, and then, yeah, like,
and then the bounces.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the fit now, man.
It's kind of weird.
I always dragged on my cousin, because, you know, she would wear mom jeans and, like, big goofy shoes. Back in like 2010, and now 2020, she's in fashion.
I mean,
like,
everything's in fashion, you know. Everything.
I'm never in fashion. What is this shit?
Hey, you know, it's okay. That means I don't know.
One like, of a kind. Certainly, some kind of special.
Anyway, and I did notice when they were at the meeting, I heard one of them said they colorized us, which I'm wondering if that also.
Yeah, not quite sure what that means. That was kind of out of context for me.
Or maybe. What if they're seeing in black and white, maybe they see normal humans in color. I don't know. That's just speculation. Like, they see the other aliens in black and white, but then normal humans show up as a... Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows?
Anyway, another thing. Key directing. Lots of walking. But I did notice, like, when he's walking in the beginning.
There's a lot of walking, yeah.
When he was walking in the beginning, he's a normal guy, but then like once he puts on the glasses, I didn't appreciate how Roddy kind of starts walking disoriented, kind of like in a daze.
Like he's off kilter.
Yeah, because he's seeing the world with new eyes.
Literally. Yeah.
I thought that was
so much so that they got contacts.
Yeah.
They stopped wearing sunglasses.
Oh yeah.
Why didn't the bouncer at the revolutionary meeting have sunglasses? You feel like that'd be the most important spot to have them, right? Because
I guess
just
like,
to screen people.
You could argue, yeah. He already had the contacts in.
Oh, fair enough.
But then I think having the glasses would like visually tell you this is the right place.
That's a good point though. Yeah, so, you could have had the contacts in, but at that point.
Yeah, and then also the use of TV. Because, I think the usage of TV as just, like, in society, even in, like, normal life, a lot of times it is used to not just convey information, but, like, convey, like, different...
To enslave the people to consume!
Yeah, because it's showing off a world that is unobtainable from... Like, remember the lady in the
fake, unidealized world.
Yeah, like, I remember the lady in the opening was talking about, I never age, and I don't have to do anything because everyone loves me because I'm a celebrity and that.
And then when he puts the sunglasses on...
Yeah, yeah, and it's all just, like, fucking propaganda.
Buy more.
Yeah, and just like the usage of it, and I mean, obviously, you know, TV bad has been like a been a thesis since probably it came out. I'm sure.
I feel like it's beyond just TV bad, though. I feel like it's more like the mass media, or like how the rich control the media. Mm-hmm. I guess
No, and I even remember, like, in the beginning it showed, like, some stereotypical America clips. There was, like, a bald eagle.
Yeah.
And, like, the not Statue of Liberty, the fucking four, what do you call it, the faces on the mountain?
Oh, Mount Rushmore.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, like this even, is America.
Even when America they opened, is... even when they opened, yeah, no, yeah, even when they opened the magazine, you know, it straight up said, just, when Roddy opened the magazine and looked at it with the sunglasses, it said, like, consume more, yeah. Buy more, so on.
Yeah,
so
this, this is the really a symbol of the
like
the
if
message.
Anything, the aliens use the media, mass media, as a vehicle
mm-hmm.
to get the cattle, aka the poor people or the lower class, to buy more and consume and essentially control them.
Yeah, and another
the exact semantics of how they profit from all this. Maybe it's because they're in control of the supply.
I guess it's like, yeah, maybe.
I'm not saying that's a plot hole. That's just more something to think that's on. It makes you think about the logistics of it.
Maybe they've always had the money.
Maybe.
Well, who knows? Another thing I noticed.
Sorry to cut you off. Yeah. You ever hear the saying is like, if all the money was distributed equally in the world today, right now, it would be back in the same pockets that it was initially at before, tomorrow.
Hmm. You ever hear that? I've never heard of that, but I oh yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. And another thing I did notice, when they were trying to watch the TV in the homeless camp, there was like a shot of like buildings collapsing. And then obviously the fucking, the raid, happened. I thought that was like a good foreshadowing.
So. Oh yeah. Yeah. Good,
you know, actually,
catch,
actually
good
no,
catch.
Another key directive thing I didn't write down, but I didn't remember the fact that like, the revolutionaries are operating out of a church, right?
Right.
Place of worship.
Mm-hmm.
And then versus like the aliens, the money, what did the dollar sign say with the glasses on? This is your God.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that kind,
yeah.
Kind of that dichotomy, man.
No, the contrast there, right? The dichotomy is like the people who are asleep, quote unquote, the regular people who aren't aware of the alien situation. Their god is money. Meanwhile, the quote unquote woke people or those aware of the enslavement of the human race, they're in a place of worship.
Yeah, which I mean, yeah, they're not explicitly being like, "Oh, Jesus Christ."
No, that's not what they're saying, but saying like,
but I think that's a subtle, good,
subtle nod that money isn't everything.
Yeah,
or money shouldn't be controlling you. Yeah. Money shouldn't be controlling you. I think is.
Yeah, I get about that. And then for effects, I didn't write anything down here, but I think we talked about a lot of the stuff.
I thought they were actually look.
Oh no! I
don't know about. If $3 million is a lot of money for movies,
especially
in
the
late
'80s,
yeah. I'm not sure if it is or isn't. But I will say the effects that they used were actually pretty good, especially mm-hmm. like the makeup on the aliens. I would even be able to forgive like the cheesy 3D animated spaceship that blew up in a 3D way.
No,
I
thought it looked pretty good. Yeah, pretty solid. The creature design,
and also like when
it was pretty good
when they showed like the what's the word for it? The propaganda messaging and the black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And even when they did the interstellar travel, like,
yeah.
Really just some movie magic because, you know, I feel like a lot of it wasn't even CGI. It was mostly practical effects. Like when they did the teleporting into the...
Well, they really went to Andromeda.
But when they teleported to the broadcast station and they had the hole,
oh, yeah.
Like, that wasn't CGI. Like
I'm
I think they,
sure not,
they had to cut
not.
Through a huge hole and
it's
put
a
light in
hole.
It. Yeah, that ain't no working hole.
I swear, I actually use like shooting work in like real life.
I'm sure people are like, "What the fuck is he talking
it's
about?"
Like, it's so stupid.
But
it's
no,
so
like the effects are in this movie. I think some of them rival some of the stuff you see today.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Granted, like, there's some weak parts that look like, oh, yeah, okay, it just made in the 80s. But I think for the majority of it, like guys, especially the alien faces,
mm-hmm.
just so stunning.
Yeah. Just from, you know.
Just why was there no blood splatter? They couldn't,
yeah,
they couldn't dish out an extra
one,
couple grand for that? Come
on. Nothing. Music-wise, I mean, yeah, we as you mentioned, it's kind of got that, like, thumping, like, kind of repeating.
That's the track we left with, but I'm sure there were, like, other stuff that blended into the background, but...
Yeah, music was fine. Yeah? Anything else for effects?
Oh, something I didn't want to ask. Okay, so now that I have a better understanding of this movie... The propaganda message that was being broadcasted, the priest was saying it verbatim. So at first I was like, is he being broadcasted to his brain? But no, since the priest was part of the revolution, you know, he probably just memorized it. So
maybe, yeah.
He was just reciting it to himself. I guess that was meant to show that the priest is in on it.
Yeah, I do have to wonder, though. I feel like I do remember thinking he kind of looked, like, confused after mouthing it off. At least to me. So
disoriented.
Yeah, so I'm wondering. I was always wondering. I'm not sure, even after watching it again.
I feel like it was just him memorizing it, and he's always just meant to look disoriented.
Yeah, maybe.
Being blind makes it hard to get a grasp of your scenarios, I'd assume.
Hey, you know, though I may... What did he say? Though I may be blind, God has allowed me to see.
Yeah.
Did I already say that earlier? Okay, whatever.
It's okay.
All right, I think it's time to maybe perhaps wrap it up. Some closing thoughts. Overall, like, no, this is a pretty fun good movie.
Is this considered a cult classic movie?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I can definitely see why. Definitely. I can see why. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, it's got a message that, like, a lot of people can, like, relate to and understand where it's coming from.
Except the 1%ers.
I mean, hey, you know,
eat the rich.
I mean, there's a reason why it's 1%.
Like, can you look up who said eat the rich? Because I know I've heard that. Yeah, it's kind of a cool quote.
You want to give your thoughts while I look it up?
But like, yeah, like you were saying, it is a cult classic for a reason.
Jean-Jacques Rousseau.
Rousseau, yeah, I learned about him in college. It's a political slogan associated with class conflict and anti-capitalism.
Well, there you go.
The phrase is commonly attributed to Jean Rousseau. When the people have When the people shall have nothing more to eat, they will eat the rich.
There you go.
Nice.
All right. Okay.
Look, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's just, it's a cool quote.
I don't want to eat people. Fuck that. I'll starve.
Pussy.
Honestly.
No, but,
Hot take.
I think if you're a movie buff...
You've probably heard of this movie.
I have heard of it, but I have no idea what it was about, which I think is the best way to experience this movie. And if you've heard this podcast, like this specific episode, and you never heard of this movie, that kind of spoils it for you, sorry. Well, but I think if you go into this, the best way to experience this movie, I believe, is cold. And if you're a movie buff, I think you would definitely enjoy this movie. Now, as far as like a more general public, like, let's say I asked Joanna to sit down and watch this with me, I don't think she would appreciate it. But, you know, that's okay.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of lost.
Not every piece of media is for every person. Right. Honestly. Yeah.
But I think it's... You know those like gold shifters?
Gold shifters?
Yeah, like, it's kind of like a net. And then you shake it, and then the dust falls out, and then gold falls
like
in.
Like or it's sometimes... Kind of like panhandling?
Yeah, kind of. Okay. But you know how, like, the stuff that doesn't fall through the shifter has, like, a weird shape? Like, it's very contrasting. So, like... I think movies like that are very contrasting as far as to, like, other movies, right? Because...
Okay. Interesting
analogy. They're not, like, a general movie. Like, okay. Jungle Cruise by The Rock. That's a movie for the general population, right? Like, most... Like, I can watch that with Joanna and she'd probably enjoy it. And, you know, I enjoyed it, right?
Yeah, okay.
But I think this movie is so different, but so unique, and I think that's its strength. And honestly, I prefer movies like these because they're a lot more memorable. So I think if you're into that sort of content, like, you're a little more
into weird shit, that's okay.
You have weird shit or a broader palette as far as movies.
That's okay. We could, yeah.
You know, like, I think this is definitely something worth checking out.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if, you know, you're just anti-capitalist, then this is probably your kind of movie.
I'm sure they love it.
I'm not, but still, I thought it was an interesting movie.
Yeah.
And also, there's just a lot of funny stuff in it. And I know we watched it originally just because it's fucking wrestler in a movie. But no, as far as wrestling movies go, or not wrestling movies, but movies starring a wrestler. And let's see, the only other wrestlers I've seen is John Cena, which I actually do like his movies, The Rock and Hogan. I think this is my favorite movie with a wrestler in
definitely
it.
A problem.
Kurt Angle in Sharknado.
Well, that he was wasn't like a in cameo. That wasn't he wasn't not
he wasn't starring.
I do know he's
Chris
in
Chris Jericho in Sharknado.
I do know Kurt Angle's in like stars in a couple movies.
Oh, Kurt Angle's in The Warrior. And he's actually a character in The Warrior. He doesn't have any lines, he's just big and a monster, but
okay.
As he should be, but yeah. No, like, as far as movies featuring wrestlers, I think this is my favorite one.
I can 100% agree with that.
Oh, there's a the David Arquette movie. What was that one called again?
Fuck you.
What was that one called again?
Ready? Is it, okay. Hold on. There's Ready to Rumble and No Holds Barred.
It's Ready to Rumble.
Okay.
No. Yeah, because fucking Buffer says, let's get Ready to Rumble.
Oh, why are you bringing that one up? Oh, are you going to say, oh, it competes?
No, definitely. What? I was the same page as you. You don't even remember. We both thought that movie sucked. Okay,
just check it. I thought you were like, hey, wait a minute.
You know the shitty thing? Is that some of my wrestling buddies love that movie. I'm like, dude, that movie is like the shit.
Why? Because it had Goldberg in it.
I think remember it's just Goldberg? Like, you know how like we watched it and it made us feel shitty about being wrestling fans? Mm. They watched it and thought, wow, this movie is so dumb, it's funny. Which maybe is the way to enjoy it.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe
I hate that movie.
They hate the farting nuns.
My god.
It's like, I don't really think anything in They Live made me laugh, but I can, like...
No, that's not true. Something in They Live made you laugh.
Hold on, let me think. Okay, actually, no. Yeah. No, never mind. Yeah,
his meant to be...
But, like, him calling that woman fucking ugly is, like, a trillion times more funny than anything in
I agree, 100%. Remember when they
the cheese dip? Like, I don't get it.
It doesn't even make sense.
I don't get it, but you know what? At least it was only... It was one line, and...
And it was still good.
It was delivered with conviction.
It was better than them eating sandwiches on the back of a shit truck.
And then getting their poop.
Remember when he lost his virginity?
In Ready to Anyway, Rumble. Guys, yeah. this has been the Spotter Pod. That movie
fucking sucks.
This has
been watch Ready to... If you're going to take away anything, folks, take away this. Don't watch Ready to Rumble. Watch They Live.
Maybe listen to our episode on Ready to Rumble.
Little plugsky. Anything else to say on They Live?
No.
Sorry, I know I cut you off.
No, it's fine. It's fine. They live. You watch. Never mind. I was trying to think of something funny.
It was almost witty. It was almost there. Just because it's an old movie doesn't mean it's not worth a watch.
No, honestly, old media is still good. It could still be good. Yeah, definitely. So yeah, go see it.
Good message. Good directing.
And it's free on Tubi with ads. Whatever. That's how we watched
not
it.
Not too bad.
Yeah, no need to spend a single dime to watch a great movie. Cool.
All right, folks, you know the shtick. We're not a weekly podcast, but we pretend to be.
See ya. All right. Oh, come on.
You gotta hit that stop button, brother.